Welcome to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast.
As The Rock would say, finally, Around the Outside has come back.
Correct.
To the podcast world.
With your host, Chris and Ryan.
Yes.
In this episode, you are going to get a super quick recap from last year. And I mean really quick recap from last year.
Very quick.
And after that, we'll move into something we call new faces and new places. Where we'll
basically just recapping silly season.
Recapping silly season, talking about the seats, who's in, who's where,
yep,
where they're at. We will also get into our season-long predictions. We're not going to do anything 500 prediction related. We will save that until
closer. We will wait till we see some practice and some qual.
Closer to the race. Talk about betting, DraftKings. Winning some money on IndyCar.
Yep.
And then from there, we're going to move into our Barber preview.
Yes. It's a really good show. It's we're glad to be back as I struggle to talk here after recording for a little while.
Yeah, so.
But we're glad to be back. I'm glad to have you back with us.
Absolutely.
We're ready to rock out the year with you.
We will now be with you weekly from now until the end of the season. And we hope you enjoy this episode of Around the Outside.
Sit down, kick back, maybe grab a cold one, and just listen to some IndyCar content.
Here you go. Welcome to episode 32.
The long-awaited episode 32.
Of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. Yeah, it is. It's been a while. If we would ever stick to our guns and say, hey, we're going to do this every week, we'd probably be on episode like 200 or something.
Oh, but, yeah.
The long-awaited, much-anticipated return of your boys from Around the Outside.
Back in the studio.
I don't think we've done an episode since the Indy 500 wrap-up.
No, it's been a while.
Back in August, so... Yeah. Recapping where we've been and what's been going on. It's COVID, really. I mean, we just
still
been
COVID.
Hanging out, doing our thing. Recapping last year's, we kind of talked about, well, what do we want to do? Our first episode back, the season's getting ready to start this weekend. So we're just going to do a real quick wrap up of last year. And I mean, real quick, the top three things that happened last year during IndyCar.
Yes.
Number one, COVID.
COVID killed everything.
Canceled a bunch of races, postponed the 500, had no fans at the 500 for the first time ever, which really sucked.
It really sucked not going to that race.
Number two, Dixon winning his, I believe,
sixth
championship.
On the hunt for seven this year.
Not surprising, but still amazing.
Yep.
And then the other big news is Takuma Sato.
Your two-time Indy 500 champion.
Winning his second.
Who would have ever thought
Indianapolis 500. Whatever. It looked like the entire day, going back to that race, that Scott Dixon had that thing in the bag.
If we remember correctly, Marco Andretti started from pole.
Whew.
And Dixon passed him into one, and that was really.
But if you think back to our episodes past where we've talked about race day, we always have said that we look up at the pylon or we look at the video board or as we're watching the cars come around, and with about 15 to go, we always look at each other and go, where the hell did he come from?
He's always there.
And we're talking about Takuma Sato.
I remember watching 2019 towards that one of those final restarts when he was there. And I was like, how in the world? I thought he was a lapped car. And sure enough, he was there running at the end. He ended up finishing third that year. So he's always there at the end.
Taku definitely knows his way around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So congratulations to Dixon on winning the championship.
Yep.
Congratulations to Taku on winning the 500. Obviously, Dixie with Ganassi, Taku with Ray Hall, Letterman Lanigan. Very good, very good. So, moving on from last year, and we're going to talk about this year. Here we go. COVID has already struck.
Already.
And we ended up postponing or moving back
the season start.
The season opener at St. Petersburg.
And we're starting at Barber this year.
And we're going to start at Barber and then go to St. Petersburg. Yep. But we're going to hit St. Petersburg at some point.
I think St. Pete is the next race of the season.
Down the road here. So
next weekend.
You came up with a thing.
Yes, I did.
I think you've called it New Faces and New Places or whatever.
This is just a recap of basically Silly Season.
So Silly Season, how it went, and who we have where. So,
We'll start with the legendary Team Penske.
Team Penske.
The one change for them is obviously Scott McLaughlin is taking over the famous number three entry for them as a full-time runner. He's the only rookie that's running full-time this year, I believe.
Wow.
I sat down and looked at today, and I couldn't believe it. So I think he is the shoe-in to win Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
But he takes in a beautiful race car. Man, that he's got with the PPG paint.
That PPG scheme is just unbelievable.
Gorgeous.
Now he is running the Penske car at the 500.
At the 500. And he's even running the retro helmet with that Rick Mears and Elio running before him. And then the rest of the three are the same, obviously. You got Joseph, Will, and Simon.
Gotcha.
Going to Ganassi, where you had some major changes happen. You still got Scott Dixon. You still got Marcus Erickson.
Yeah.
TK makes his return to Ganassi to run on the ovals.
He's
going to be strong.
He's going to be strong.
And even bigger news, to run on the road courses in that number 48 car is 7-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
That was really cool news to hear for the sport of IndyCar. And I've actually heard recently that we're looking at a 2022 Indy 500 run for old Jimmy.
I did see that. It was an article put out, I think, by Jenna Fryer.
Yep.
Where he did say that his wife has kind of
loosened the reins,
given him the go to you know. Now he obviously would like to have a Fernando type test day at Indy. And I think IndyCar would probably bend over backwards.
I would assume.
And allow him to have that. So, but my gut feeling tells me that you'll see, unless something just goes bad for him this year, like he has a bad wreck or he gets hurt or something, you know, let's pray that doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think we'll see Jimmy Johnson at the 500 next year, especially if he is present on race day at the 500 with Team Ganassi. If he's there, and I think once he sees, especially if there's going to be fans allowed, which
I think there's at least, there will be some fans.
That's a whole different story that, you know, us living here in Indianapolis, we're waiting on to see what the worthless mayor, Joe Hogsett, has to say about that. And I mean worthless. So we will, we've got our fingers crossed that
we do.
We're going to be there
we do.
On race day. So
I think we are. One last change for Ganassi is in kind of a shocking move that I don't think too many people saw coming towards the end of the year last year was Alex Palou makes the move over to take over the 10 car this year full time.
Yeah, I don't know if that was necessarily
I don't think that was a Ganassi move.
Right, that wasn't a wanted move. It was
what they had
Felix leaving.
Yeah, which we'll get to that here in a little bit. Actually, that's not next. I apologize. Andretti is next.
Andretti.
Couple big changes for Andretti. First of all, Marco Andretti is no longer a full-time IndyCar driver.
Yeah.
Only running the 500. Yep. Says his main focus is winning that race. So, which that's honestly probably a change that he's needed for a long time because he hasn't really been competitive anywhere except Indy for the past however many years.
Ever.
Yeah. So, Hinch makes the move over full time.
Yep.
Taking over the 29 car, which is now full time. And then the only other switch really was Colton Herta taking over Zach Veach's car.
Yeah,
which
you knew Zach was going to get.
The only thing you can touch on with Andretti is the rumor of a sixth 500 car. I've seen Oriel Servia's name thrown out there sometimes. I've seen Oliver Askew's name thrown out there. So,
Askew did test for them.
Yeah, I think that sixth car is for sure going to happen. It's just a matter of who it is at this point.
We shall see. We shall see.
Next up is Arrow McLaren SP.
Woo.
Obviously keeping one of the future studs of IndyCar, if not one of these studs of IndyCar, in Pato O'Ward.
They've got, boy, I'll tell you what, they have got, they've got potential with a capital P this year. Not only in their, you're going to finish off their driver lineup.
Yep. We got coming over, like we mentioned earlier, from Ganassi, you got Felix Rosenquist.
So you got Pato and Felix.
Yep.
You remember the show they put on at Elkhart Lake?
It was quite impressive.
Last year. Those two are going to be, I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yes, they will.
And then to go with Craig Hampson, again, the magician at Indy, you put in the two-time, kind of like Dr. Disrespect, the two-time, that's the way he calls himself, right?
The two-time
Indianapolis 500 champion in Juan Pablo Montoya.
Finally making it back,
who,
thankfully.
Right, is unbelievable at that track.
I think I saw it today. He's won 40% of the races he's been in.
I think he's run five races. He's won two. So, I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
It's unbelievable.
Pretty impressive. Next up, we got Ed Carpenter Racing, which had no change this offseason. It will still be Ed and Connor in that 20 car, and it will be Renus VK in the 21.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything about Connor and the ovals, which I think is BS.
I think it'll end up being Connor for Carlin.
Well, I mean, I hope, considering what he did last year for them.
Yeah, he
put him
on
the
pole. Yeah.
I mean, he's outstanding in that car on the ovals. Once again, he has got a wicked badass livery
the
B2 Bomber. And of course we had to do the full invest on Theo shirts from the shop.
Of course.
So if you want some good Connor Daly swag, cause that is our boy. That is our boy from around the outside.
Love Connor Daly.
Is, Connor Daly.
Next up after them is another team with a lot of changes, and that's Dale Coyne Racing.
Dale Coyne Racing.
So with Dale Coyne Racing with Vassar Sullivan Racing, it is going to be Ed Jones in the Sealmaster car this year. Kind of a weird change that I didn't see coming, but it happened. And then with Rick Ware Racing, for the 500, I think you'll see Cody Ware attempting to make the field.
Whoo!
And
yeah, good luck.
In their other full-time car with Rick Ware Racing, you'll see Pietro Fittipaldi back running the ovals.
Yeah.
And then the next big rookie with Romain Grosjean jumping the ship from F1.
Yes. That is, I can't wait to see him run.
You know, and it's kind of funny because we've seen these other F1 guys come over like Ericsson and like Chilton.
They always love it.
But I think Romain's a little different because he's a guy, he has 10 podiums in F1, and that's, he's never been in a very good car. So having 10 podiums in the cars he's been in,
right,
not bad.
Yeah, what do you think Romain would do in a Penske or a Ganassi?
Oh, exactly.
You know, or an Arrow McLaren. I mean, or a Ray Hall.
Quite impressive.
Or, you know, I mean, I hope that he has a successful and that he likes what he gets into, because that guy right there,
mm-hmm.
And this is another thing that IndyCar needs to work on is marketing. I just think IndyCar's marketing
could be better.
Sucks. they market the shit out of the 500.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they do an excellent, excellent job of marketing the Indianapolis 500. But they need to market the other races in the season.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just doesn't seem to happen.
Not as much.
No. As much. They need a show like Formula One's got. The Driven to Succeed or Drive to Survive or whatever it is. Because I don't know if I'm sure the people that listen to this podcast, you're obviously IndyCar fans, you have probably seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have.
I haven't watched it yet.
It is unbelievable. That whole show, every season of that whole show is unbelievable.
I've heard it's quite
the
good.
Way it's put together by Netflix, and it's like behind the scenes, unbelievable, and IndyCar needs it bad. They need something like that bad. But when you watch that episode where Grosjean goes through the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it gave me chills
watching
it. And to listen to him describe the events and what was going through his head and about how he saw a ball of orange and then he felt the heat. And then he told himself at one point in time, well, this is it. I'm going to die.
Yep.
And then he started telling himself, nope, I'm going to live for my kids. I'm going to live for my wife. And for him to come out of that was just unbelievable. So I really hope that made me a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he has a good year.
So do I. I really hope.
And I hope he enjoys himself in the States, and mm-hmm. I hope he enjoys himself in the series. Most people that come over from Formula One enjoy the series because of the camaraderie with the drivers and how much mm-hmm. more open it is.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
We'll see how he fares.
Yeah, so. I'm hoping he does well this year. Next team we got is AJ Foyt with Sebastian Bourdais taking over the 14 car full time.
And I think that's going to be good.
I agree. I think that'll be great for that team. Hopefully it's a good turning point. The other full-time driver for them is Dalton Kellett, continuing his role from last year.
Got to say, nothing personal against Dalton Kellett. I'm sure he's a great guy, but a big thumbs down for that.
He probably had a lot of sponsorship.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Part-time wise, you'll have Charlie Kimball
running two races. Double thumbs down for the moving chicane.
And actually, it's kind of funny because
Charlie Kimball,
his teammate this year for the 500, is a guy who he cost the race.
Yes.
In 2011, with J.R. Hildebrand coming to run the 500.
I hope
in
J.R.
the number one car that looks like AJ's first one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. And I hope J.R. puts him in the fence, to be honest with you. Because not only, it was cool watching that test.
Yeah.
But that shows you your place, Charlie Kimball, that you didn't even test.
He was a broadcaster.
And I enjoyed watching it, and then all of a sudden I had to listen to Charlie Kimball be an analyst for it. Please, whoever is up in the booth, because now I've heard that Paul Tracy's only going to do 6 races. He's not doing the whole season,
that's upset,
which is BS. And we're losing NBC evidently at the end of this year now. So
apparently,
where the hell is IndyCar going? That's a whole other segment probably.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving chicane, Charlie Kimball, back at Foyt.
Okay. Next team we got is a personal favorite of ours with Meyer Shank Racing.
We love us Meyer Shank.
We do.
We love us some Shank.
The obvious is returning in the 60 car. You've got Jack Harvey, who I think is going to set up for a very solid year.
Think he could have a solid year. I agree with you.
And then coming over, not running for the team, for the captain.
Yeah.
For almost besides like a couple fill-in races last year, Elio Castroneves in the 06 car.
Yes.
He's running the 500 and then I think some other.
I think he's got like 6 total.
Yeah, I think he's got 6 total races.
And that could change too.
And I think with hearing him talk, his goal with that is to make that a full-time ride the next year.
He wants to be back full-time.
So kudos to Elio for doing that. Hope he succeeds.
I love Elio. That's my dude, man.
Would love to see Elio get his 4th.
That was my dude for a while, was Elio. So,
yeah, happy for Elio to be back.
Very happy for Elio.
Carlin Racing. No changes. You still have Max Chilton road courses in the 500. The only question mark is who's going to run the ovals.
Right. And if they don't hire Connor Daly, I would be shocked. They're ignorant.
I'd be shocked. Yeah. And then finally with full-time competition teams, you've got Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan.
I love them.
Returning their 2 drivers from last year, Graham Ray Hall, and defending Indy 500 champion Takuma Sato.
Yep.
With a great addition for the 500, the guy who finished 4th last year.
The Rooch.
Santino Ferrucci coming
yes.
over.
I love Graham Ray Hall just as much as I love Connor Daly.
Yep.
If there's 2 guys, and for me, that's saying something because I've been a Team Penske fan
forever.
Forever.
And we, ever, even when I was growing up, we never switched.
Right. Forever. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I like Scott McLaughlin. I love Will Power. Will Power is probably my favorite driver on that team.
Yeah.
I'm a Jay New fan, but I've kind of eased off that a little bit. But I love him. But I'm just, you know, I mean, if he wins, I don't know. I just don't find myself rooting for Jay New as hard as I root for other people.
Right.
If they're, and this is a hard thing to say, who would you want to win the 500? If you could wave a magic wand and somebody can win the 500, who would it be? And I got to boil my picks down between Connor Daly and Graham Rahal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could just bring it to one. But
be tough.
One of those two guys, I want Graham to win every race. I want Connor to win every race.
And that's hard to do.
I mean, it's just, you know, Takuma's Takuma. And
I love Takuma. I've become a very big Takuma fan.
He's awesome. And then bringing on Ferrucci for the 500.
Guys that finished first, third, and fourth in the 500 last year.
Pretty solid lineup.
That's a very solid
lineup. Pretty solid lineup. I mean, that's like I was listening to somebody else talk about the 500, and they said, it was during the test, and they were like, you kind of got to say they're the favorites going
right
into
now,
the 500.
The favorites, yeah, right? For sure.
Now, let's see what Chevy has to say about
right.
that.
Right.
But we'll see. But yeah, Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan, positive. Two thumbs up, and I wish you guys the best, and I hope you have an outstanding year.
I agree. Next up, we got a few part-time teams. First one, we'll start with Pareda Autosport, which we might as well just call them Team Penske.
Team Penske Jr.
With driver returning to the sport after a long absence, Simona DiSilvestro.
Yes, I think that's going to be awesome. They've got, I don't know if it's an all-female pit crew, maybe not, maybe the right front, you were saying, you think the right front's a guy.
From what I saw on the broadcast.
Whatever the case may be, I thought it was an all-female team. Man, hats off to them. I wish them the best of luck.
Yep.
You couldn't have picked a better driver in Simona.
Or a better team to align yourself with.
So it's funny because when I was looking at, I was looking at a picture of her seat fitting,
uh-huh.
right? And I pointed this out to you.
Yep.
And they're like taking it from the front of the car. You can see her steering wheel. And then her steering wheel says Simona. And it's obviously in that Penske font.
Oh, yeah. It is a Penske prepared car to the max.
And she's good. So she should have
a good ride.
She should have a good run. Yes.
Next team we got Dreyer and Reinbold.
Yep.
They were at the test, but they're not officially confirmed yet for the 500.
Sage again.
With Sage Karam again.
Right.
So
they'll be there.
They'll be at the 500 again. And finally, a team that has said that they're going to be at the 500, but they don't have an engine leash yet, with Top Gun Racing.
Yeah.
With driver R.C. Enerson.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So they just need to find that engine lease, which...
We're not going to do our 500 predictions yet or talk
yet.
About it, but from what I've heard, you may have anywhere between 34 and 36.
I've heard even
37-ish.
37 is the max.
Qualifiers, so...
There's definitely going to be bumping.
You'll definitely have bumping, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. Honestly, I didn't think you would after COVID, so... that's really good. But that is all the driver changes.
That's it. So, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting year. It's going to be a fantastic year as we get ready to start this thing off with the race on Sunday. Two-day show.
Yep.
It's a two-day show. I mean, I think most road courses are going to be two-day shows.
And big change this year we haven't touched on yet. Everything is on Peacock for this year. Not the IndyCar, whatever... Gold subscription we had.
Yeah, if you want, the IndyCar Gold stuff will be on Peacock.
Correct.
We'll still have races on NBC.
Yeah, but I'm
NBC
saying the
SN.
Gold stuff moved over to Peacock.
So if you if you didn't have NBC Gold, which it was awesome last year, subscribe to Peacock.
Peacock is a wonderful thing.
I would get Peacock the whatever version that doesn't have ads.
I think there's a $5 version and a $10, and I get the $10.
Yeah, so plus you get all the Office.
Get all the Harry Potters.
You get Cheers. You get all kinds of stuff. So anyway, so having said all that, welcome back to Around the Outside.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. We talked about last year a little bit and then what we got going on.
This year.
New faces and new places.
Oh,
so
yeah.
All the changes we got going on. So we're going to take our first break. We are going to come back after this break with our season predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Around the Outside with your hosts, Chris and Ryan. Once again, coming to you live from Indianapolis, the greatest racing... little Pat McAfee in there. The greatest racing city...
in the world.
The greatest racing state anywhere on God's
no
green earth.
No one compares.
So, man, we are glad to be back. It has been way too long for us.
It has.
And
it's good to be sitting down talking.
We are now fully committed.
We're locked in for the year.
Locked in, coming to you every week. We're bringing you some exciting news, some fresh content.
The typical out-of-the-box thinking ideas.
Hopefully, maybe we'll help you make a little money along the way with our betting predictions.
Yes.
And we've got some assistance with that, with some people that we follow. We'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah.
So, right now, we're going to talk about season predictions. So...
Ooh.
I know you had a list that you wanted to make up, and we made these lists separate.
As we tend to do.
As we like to do, so we don't see each other's list. And then, so I think what we'll do is we will go through the list. I'll let you read off the names. You came up with four different categories. You came up with, and these are for the season.
For the season. This is for the championship.
The championship for the season. So... you came up with championship contenders.
Yep.
People that are on the edge of being a contender.
Yep.
You came up with the third category is people who will have average slash good points races.
Yep.
Right? And then you've got your fourth and final category is not even close.
Not even close.
And we only did the full-time people that we know of.
So, like, Jimmy's not on here.
Right.
Romain Grosjean's not on here.
Right, because...
just guys running every race.
Like, I think there's 24 guys signed up for Barber.
Yeah.
And then I've read other articles where, you know, from race to race to race, we could be looking anywhere from 24 to 28.
Yeah.
Depends on where, you know, and we're not even talking about the 500.
Yeah.
So,
which is awesome.
So we'll see how that goes and we'll see what, you know, where we're at with it.
So you just want me to go down a list here?
You go down the list.
And then we'll see.
And then you tell me where that person is.
Okay.
And once you tell me who that person is and your reasoning why he's there. Then I'll tell you where I put that person.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So we will start with Dalton Kellett.
Yep.
Who I have in the not even close category for, I think, self-explained reasons.
And I, too, put Dalton Kellett in the not close category for self-explanatory.
I think we would agree.
Yes.
So next up on the list, we got Sebastian Bourdais.
Yep.
Who I have, and you actually come to learn, I have a lot of guys in this category. On the edge of contending.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, for me, when I think about it, I just think the field this year, you know, we've said this forever the past couple of years, but I think it's more true this year. I think there are so many guys
deep
that are capable of winning races that I think guys in this category, if they get hot, I think they have a chance at the end. So I got Seb in the edge of contention.
I have Seb in the average slash good points days.
I can't
because
imagine.
and to be honest with you, it has nothing to do with Seb. It has everything to do with Foyt.
That's the issue.
I hope they change my mind.
Uh-huh.
Once I see them being consistent,
yeah,
and that Seb is running consistently at the front.
Yep.
Okay. Qualifying consistently at the front.
Uh-huh.
I'll have no problem moving him into that. He's on the edge of being a contender.
I agree.
I think from a driver standpoint, Sebastian Bourdais could easily be in the contender category.
He's the right car to do it.
But from a team standpoint right now, I got to put Seabass in the average to good points day.
I would agree with what you said, but I got him in the edge of contending. Next up, we got Colton Herta. And I think we might have the same exact list for this category, which is contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily a contender. I think one of the best drivers in the series right now, and he's super young. So I think he's going to be forced to be reckoned with this year.
He is a contender for me also. Self-explanatory.
Yep. Next up, you got Alexander Rossi, which basically the same as Colton, contender.
Obviously.
Pride top three driver in the series right now.
Yep.
So Alexander Rossi is a contender.
I agree.
Next up, you got Ryan Hunter-Reay. And I've got Ryan Hunter-Reay in right on the edge of contending. Former champion.
Yep.
Has the talent, just hasn't been the consistent the past few years. It'll be interesting to see if he can get back to that form.
I have Ryan Hunter-Reay as a contender.
As a contender. Okay.
Former Indianapolis 500 winner, former champion, driving for Andretti.
Okay.
At some point in time, as Marshall Pruitt likes to put it, the cartoon anvil has to quit falling on Ryan Hunter-Reay. And I just have a feeling that This could be the year. This could be the year. Again, it's going to boil down to Honda versus Chevy. But man, it's deep. The field's deep. So, but I have him.
I would agree.
I have RHR as a contender.
Next up, we got James Hinchcliffe, and I'm actually going to make a change on the fly here. I changed my mind. I originally had him in edge of contending.
Yeah.
I'm going to move him down to average to good points days.
Yeah.
Looking at it, he's a talented driver. He's been in the series for a good while now, but I just don't see him as a championship contender or even close to that. He's in a good car, but I don't see it this year.
Well, I originally had him in the average to good points day, and that's where he's staying. Look, he's good for the series. He's good for ratings. I guess he's entertaining, sometimes a little overbearing to me. But he's a good driver.
Mm-hmm.
He's in an excellent car.
Yep.
With an excellent team. If he doesn't produce in the next, I don't know how many years his contract is for, but if he doesn't produce, it's completely on him.
I agree.
Because there are plenty of other drivers out there that would kill to have his opportunity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So if he doesn't produce, it's on James.
I agree.
So average to good for me.
Yep. Next up is Pato O'Ward, another guy I think we'll completely agree on. Contender, for sure. I think, especially towards the end of the year last year, he showed that he's a extremely talented driver, and Arrow McLaren SP, I think, will be a very solid team. So, very easily a contender for me.
I have him, too, as a contender, which would be, that would mean that Pato is going to have a breakout year.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a breakout couple of races, but a breakout year. Because mm-hmm. if he's going to contend for the championship, you've obviously got to put consistency, has to be at a priority.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I think Pato has the opportunity to be a contender.
I agree.
I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm going to put him there for now.
So next up, we got his teammate, Felix Rosenqvist.
Yep.
And I have him as an edge, being on the edge of being a contender. You know, he hadn't been the most consistent driver when it comes to race finishes his past 2 years at Ganassi. I think he's got all the talent in the world. It's just being able to put consistent race weekends together like we just talked about. So I think for him, I have him on the edge of contending.
That's where I have him. I agree with everything you said.
Yep. Next up, you got Marcus Ericsson, who was my first driver to be in the average to good points day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a better year being in the same system and being around the same people, but I just don't see him being too much better than what he has been.
I would put him in the average to good points day, too. I would tend to have him more as a good points day guy.
I would agree, yes, I would agree.
As opposed to an average points day guy. This will be what, his third year?
His third year, second with Ganassi.
In the series. Yeah. So he knows the tracks. He knows the routine. He's second year with Ganassi. He's another one that could have a outstanding year.
I agree, yeah. He could surprise a lot of people. Next up, I think this one's quite easy, is Scott Dixon. Obviously, the six-time champion is going to be a contender.
Yes.
It never changes with him. He is quite good. Their other teammate that's full-time is Alex Palou. I have him as an edge of being a contender, strictly based off his car. I know he showed a lot of talent last year in a car that I don't think's as good as what the car he's going to have now. I think if he can be consistent enough, he can be up there towards the end of the year.
I've got Alex Palou as an average to good points guy.
I can't dispute that.
And
I can see it going both ways.
To me, my gut tells me he's going to be more on the average points guy list type of thing. I don't know, man. It's just take away Ericsson in that third car. That second car for Ganassi, that guy playing second fiddle to Scott Dixon.
I agree.
Has always struggled.
I was thinking about that earlier.
I can't say always struggled because you've had Dario in that seat.
Two guys that have been successful in that seat has been Dan Weldon and Dario. TK's been in that seat, but he was always the second fiddle to Scott Dixon.
He wasn't real successful in
he
that
seat.
He
wasn't the most successful driver.
Ed Jones stunk it up.
My
fear is that Palou doesn't Ed Jones. Now,
we'll see.
We'll see, because Palou proved last year that
he qualified really well all year.
He's a pretty damn good race car driver.
Plenty of top five finishes.
I hope that he has an outstanding year.
I agree.
Because I really like him as a person and as a driver.
I agree.
So. Next.
Next up, we got Ed Jones.
Ed Jones.
He is not even close.
He is in my not even close category, too, I think that's enough said.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I have him in here speculating that he will be full-time this year. Connor Daly. This is also a switch I'm making real quick.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. I picked with my heart at first.
Yeah.
I put him at edge of contending.
Yeah.
I got to use my brain a little bit.
I think you're making your switches because you're peeking at my
list. No, I'm not. I promise.
I think you're...
This is the last switch I'll make.
I think you've been peeking.
You're a peeker. I think I see him as a good points day guy. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he has a great year. I just see him as a solid points day guy for Carpenter.
I have him in the average to good points day category. I think he's going to be more on the good points day category.
I agree.
I want Connor Daly to win every single race.
Yes, I agree.
And I will root for Connor Daly to win every single race. He's just got to do it.
I agree.
And he just, he's another guy that has a lot of bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And if our boy, was as we like to say, our boy Connor Daly can put it together and get luck to fall his way, I think he's going to have an outstanding season.
I agree.
So, I got him in that category, but I don't believe... I believe much more of him.
That's where I'm at with it. His teammate is Renus VK, who I have in the average to good points day finish.
I have Renus in the average to good points day finish. As he himself put on Twitter, don't ever post it's going to be a good day or he's ready for the day, and then 20 minutes later go stuff it in the wall at Indianapolis.
Which is very similar to what he did last year at Texas, where he kind of got chewed out by.
He said he said there was a big old gust of wind come through, which is possible. We know how the wind plays in turn one, but he looked awfully damn low to me.
He was quite low
going through, and then all of a sudden his car just hooked. And I don't know.
He was quite low.
Another guy that's extremely talented. Yeah. I too have him in the average to good points day.
Mm-hmm. I think he can produce a good finish.
VK is one of those guys that just seems to be, he's either on it,
yeah,
or he's in the wall.
Yeah.
It just seems like that's it. One or the other. He's either killing it or he's in the wall.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Next up, we got Jack Harvey from Meyershank Racing, and I'm going to stick with this one. I have him in on the edge of contending.
Yeah.
The reason I can tell you don't have him in just by the tone of your voice. Hear me out, though, right?
I got you.
This is a team that qualified consistently in the Firestone Fast Six.
He did. He's good.
On a race basis. I think if he can put consistent enough finishes together, I think he's a good enough driver to get on the podium and even maybe win a race this year. He's my dark horse driver for the year.
I've got him in the average to good category, average to good points day category. He's not a contender, in my opinion.
I didn't say he was a contender. He's on the edge.
I'm sorry. He's not even on the edge. I want him to be. For some reason, when I think back to last year, and I'm getting older, so my brain doesn't work real well sometimes, but I want to say there were a few races where we were sitting there last year, going, why'd you bring him in, or why didn't you pit him, or why didn't you?
Yeah.
So for some reason, I keep thinking that his strategist hosed him a few times last year, and I don't know. I'm not bad mouthing anybody on that team because we love us and Michael Shank.
Oh yeah.
On around the outside.
Oh yeah.
But he's a guy that if he can put it all together, and that means him as a driver and his team as from pit stops to strategy to everything, then I would absolutely move him up to being on the edge of being a contender.
Okay.
But as it stands right now for me, average a good point day, and he may be at the top of the good point day list. Yeah. For me.
Okay. Next up, we got Graham Rahal, who I have as a contender.
Contender with me?
Yeah. It's kind of simple. He's talented enough, just needs to get a little luck to fall his way.
Gotta do it.
His teammate, Takuma Sato, I have on the edge of contending.
Yeah.
He's just gotten better with age. He's gotten consistently better year after year after year.
Right.
I think if he can put some good results together, he'll be really solid.
For me, he is on the edge too. He is also, it seems to be sometimes, he's either the hero or the zero.
Hence, go back to when he put it in the grass at Texas trying to pass Scott Dixon.
So, but the dude has, let's put it this way. The dude's about, 4'11"? 5'2"? But he needs a wheelbarrow to carry his nuts around with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because the dude, no attack, no chance. Is that his mantra?
Yeah, he's got some stones.
The dude has some ginormous stones.
Oh, yeah.
And he is not scared.
And I have slowly over time become a massive Takuma. So I'm going to have to get some Takuma merch. I'm not
right. Get some Taku merch.
Next up, we got one of the strongest teams in the field.
Yeah.
With Team Penske.
Starting here we go.
With Joseph Newgarden, obviously contender, 2-time IndyCar Series champion.
Yep.
I think you would
agree. I would agree.
Yeah. So next up, rookie Scott McLaughlin.
Yep.
I've got him on edge of contending.
Yeah.
Three-time V8 supercar champion down in Australia.
Yeah.
Extremely talented.
I agree with all that.
He's in one of the better cars of all time.
I agree with that, number three, too.
Penske.
You have him on edge. I have him in average a good points day.
Okay.
Merely for the simple fact that he's never seen these tracks.
I can agree with that.
Running these things on iRacing is one thing. Doing it for real is another. Now, is he with probably the best team? Yeah. Is he in one of the best cars? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a badass race car driver? For sure.
Yep.
Could he be? He could be. He's a guy that, in my opinion, mm-hmm. could be in all four of these categories. He could be a contender.
Yeah.
He could be on the edge. He could be average to good point day, or he could be not even close.
You never know.
It's just going to depend on how fast he can acclimate himself
right.
to the car, the track, the series, qualifying, mm-hmm. reds versus blacks.
Yeah.
All that stuff, all the stuff that you have to go through, that's new to him. Yeah, he's been running, in Australia, three-time champ. I get it. Jimmy Johnson's a seven-time champ.
I would agree.
Okay? And I saw a tweet for him saying of all the stuff he has to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Pit speed limiter. All the stuff he's never done
yeah,
before.
Right.
He's never been through a practice session. He's had a test sessions, but mm-hmm. he's never been through a practice. Never been on reds, ever.
No.
Never made a pass. Never done a start. Never done a restart. Never done a pit, a pit stop.
Right.
Scott McLaughlin's in the same boat.
Okay.
So
I see where you're coming from.
For me, he's averaged a good points day, but it ain't going to shock me if he wins some races.
I agree.
He seems to like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway quite a bit.
I think he's going to be good.
And who his mentor is?
Rick Mears.
Best to ever do it.
He was third on the no-toe speed.
The best to ever do it is giving him, just like he did with Elio.
And Elio's a three-time winner.
So you see where that happened.
Next up, we got Willpower. This one I think we'll 1,000% agree on. Contender.
Love.
Honest.
Us some Willpower.
Probably the best qualifier of all time. Yeah. At this point, I think he should pass Mario this year for poles.
He's in my top three favorite drivers of the series.
Yeah,
and there's really not, for me, there's really not a first, second, third.
Yeah.
It's just they're all three right here.
Yep.
It's Graham Rahal, Connor Daly, Will Power.
That's like, it was funny when he won the 500 just because before then, Will Power didn't have lot of fans, I don't think. But we're two of his biggest fans, and so we were up and cheering our heads off while everyone else.
Well, I'll tell you, be honest with you, I heard Will give an interview, and he talked about how he made a conscious effort just to be a better dude, because mm-hmm. there were times where we would be in the garages.
Oh yeah,
here at Indy, and he was kind of a dick. He was kind of like Marco Andretti. That's why so many people don't like Marco Andretti, because Marco Andretti is a dick.
It happens.
Right? In the garages. I'm not saying as a person.
Yeah. Right? With the fans in the garages.
But with the fans in the garages. And I get the whole, that's their job and get out of their way, blah, 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 blah. I get that.
But the legends. But
there was a time that Will was, he was kind of, then it all just changed for him.
And he bought in.
And he won the 500.
Won the 500.
Right? Remember we saw him at Mid-Ohio?
Yeah.
We were back in the garage at Mid-Ohio. Yep. Man, that dude was the nicest guy to us. I mean, spectacular.
Talk to you.
Love us some Willpower.
Cool dude. And last but not least, well, maybe, Simon Pagenaud.
Okay.
I'll let you go first.
No, you go first.
All right. This is actually another one I'm going to move.
Oh, here we go, dude.
No, I
can't stick to your guns.
I can't. I had him on edge of contending. I'm moving him down a category to average to good points day. I don't see him being a contender this year. What I personally see happening is he has an average year, and he is out at Team Penske.
Yeah.
I just see it. I think this is a contract year for him.
There's always somebody Penske's got their eyeball on. Who is that person? And what seat do they fill? So
I think out of the four Penske drivers, the most likely to leave right now has to be Simon.
Simon or Will, but I don't know. So,
I don't see him getting rid of Will.
So I have Will, or I'm sorry, I have Simon in the average to good category too. Mine is more based off of like and dislike. I'm just not the biggest Simon fan. He comes across as a nice guy. His dog kind of annoys me a little bit, Norman, but because he's, I don't know why. But
you and me both have never been the biggest Simon fans.
I just don't know. Because it's not like he's a dick. You know what I mean? He comes across
it's
as
it's just
a,
like we're just not fans of
he comes
him,
across
know?
As
happens.
A nice guy. I just
out of the Penske
I
drivers.
Wasn't a fan of his pre Penske.
Yeah.
So then when my favorite team ever hired him, I was like, oh my goodness. What am I gonna so now I've got him in average to good points. Just
still a good driver.
Based off of heart.
Yeah.
In reality, he could be a contender.
He can be. It's been a while since he has been.
He can be a contender. He can be on the edge. He can be average to good. He's definitely not in the not close category.
No.
Not even close. Yeah, but would it shock me if... it wouldn't shock me if he won the 500. It wouldn't shock me if he won the championship.
I would agree.
I got him average good.
Right there with you.
Is that the last one?
That is the last one.
Okay. With that said, real quick, we're going to talk a little betting.
Betting.
Before we take our next break. As of right now, I just checked it before we started. IndyCar is not on DraftKings.
I haven't looked at FanDuel.
IndyCar is not on FanDuel.
Oh, you've looked?
Right, which is hot garbage. So, what I think may happen, and I hope that they're on there, because they were on DraftKings all last year, is that as we get closer to
the race,
put
odds out.
That they'll put odds out. So if you are a bettor, if you are into betting, it is a lot of fun. I hope that DraftKings takes it a little bit further. They did a pretty good job with like some matchups, I think, last year. Watch for that Thursday, Friday-ish. Watch for DraftKings. You got to go to, they usually don't have it in their little headers up top. You got to go to All Sports, go to Motorsports. And then even when you look at Motorsports, it may only list NASCAR and F1, but if you look over to the right, it'll have like a number 3 or number 4, whatever. Click on see all, and then it should bring up IndyCar.
Yep.
And then it's weird how they have it up and they take it down based off when they're qualifying and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, a very good Twitter account to follow is Bet IndyCar. We kind of go back and forth with Bet IndyCar. On Twitter, but if you want to follow Bet IndyCar, they are @Indy_bet. So @Indy_bet,
yep.
Give them a follow, and you will definitely not be disappointed. He's got some smart picks. So
he does.
Having said that, let's hope towards the end of the week that we get it up on DraftKings.
Hopefully,
and
hopefully FanDuel, because that's what I'm on.
It'd be nice to make some money. Like I read one of BetIndyCar's tweets, and I was feeling the same thing he was feeling. My gut tells me that DraftKings is going to overinflate Jimmy Johnson. So
I would assume.
I don't know how, if you can bet on, if there's matchups, right?
Right.
I would definitely be betting against Jimmy Johnson to start with. So, having said that, we will take our next break, and we will be right back with more Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. And And welcome back to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. We are back with our third and final segment. The one thing that we forgot to talk about in the last segment, we did our whole, you know, championship contenders.
Yeah.
Is who we think is going to win the championship.
Yeah, we did.
So,
say it.
Who do you think Ryan's going to win the championship?
I believe I went with this guy last year, and he had a very bad year for his standards. But I'm going to go with him again. I will die on this sword that I believe he's the most talented driver at Indy at the moment. I think he's top three talented driver in the series, and if he can put it together, he's going to be dominant most race weekends. And that's Alexander Rossi.
The old saucy Rossi.
Got to go with my favorite driver.
I'd love for Alexander Rossi to win the championship and the 500 again. But having said all that, I have never predicted this guy ever. Ever. Never predicted him to win the 500. I've never predicted him to win the championship. And what's this guy go out and do? Wins six championships. So I'm going to go with the guy who is most likely to win the championship. And that's Scott Dixon.
I can't argue.
I figure, hell, I may as well pick him.
May as well.
Maybe if I pick him, he won't win it.
But that typically means Joseph's going to win it, because that's how it's been the past four years.
I mean, I guess I'm tired of not picking him, and he just keeps on winning. So until he proves me wrong, I'm going to go with Scott Dixon to win his seventh. So we will see. So having said that, moving on, we are now at the time we're going to preview Barber. That's this weekend. I cannot wait.
Get to see cars on track.
Barber is a 2.38-mile permanent road course with 17 turns and 80 feet of elevation change.
Lots of elevation change.
During the break, you and I were watching an onboard...
From a few years ago
lap from Ryan Hunter-Reay. And,
Bumpy course.
I like it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is a wonderful course.
I know we've both heard Connor Daly and Rossi say that they're not the biggest fans of Barber.
Yeah.
What's that mean? How's that hold for their how are they gonna do?
Right. Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. In the past, this race has been Penske dominant.
Especially the last couple years with Joseph.
You got Joseph Newgarden has won this race three times.
Yep.
Will Power has won this race twice. And then Elio and Simon have both won it once.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in Sebastian Bourdais, Takuma.
I think Takuma won it. I want to say Hunter-Reay's won it.
Maybe Sebastian hadn't won it.
I don't think Sebastian has.
I think Hunter-Reay's. Hunter-Reay's won it twice, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe. Last time they raced here, because remember, they didn't race here last year during COVID. But last time they ran here, Takuma Sato was the winner.
And it was a Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan front row with a Graham Ray Hall up there with him.
Seems to, I haven't looked at the weather yet, to be honest with you. But we always seem to get some rain.
It does have rain sometimes.
Whether it's like during quals or at some point in time during the race.
Yeah, it's weird.
There always seems to be some rain down there.
Yeah.
Down yonder in
Alabama.
In Alabama. So, cool track though, man.
It is a cool track to watch on TV.
We will get there.
Yeah.
One of these years. Mm-hmm. They got a really cool motorcycle museum there. Because the track was originally built as a motorcycle track.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, they got the big old sculptures everywhere all over the ground.
They've showed it on TV before, and it looks really cool.
It's pretty cool. So, we are definitely looking forward to this race one of the season. And now is that time of the show where we are going to give our first predictions of the year.
I'm excited.
For a race.
I am right? excited. You go first.
I am really glad that we are here. So, I am going to say, and I will start in third place.
Okay.
Third place, finishing on the podium for me, none other than Andretti Autosport driver.
Which one?
Alexander Rossi.
Okay.
I know he says he doesn't like to track, but
he's still talented.
I saw a tweet from him today that says anything less than the championship would be deemed a failure.
Oh, he's determined.
So man, I'm telling you,
he's going to be on a mission.
Oh, Saucy Rossi's on a mission, and he's coming out swinging.
Yep.
So I got him. Wouldn't surprise me if he wins the race.
I agree.
Wouldn't surprise me if he wins the race. But I got him coming out and finishing on the podium in third.
Okay.
Who you got for third?
For the exact same reasons you do, I have Alexander Rossi.
Alexander Rossi. There we go. So we're one for
and
one.
And this time, I wasn't peeking.
Yeah. Well, I hid my paper.
Yeah, I saw that.
Finishing second here at Barber is a guy that races for Team Penske.
That is the same as mine.
And he's a three-time winner.
Oh, no, it's not the same.
At this racetrack, I'm going to say Joseph Newgarden. Okay. Again, I'm going just kind of like my championship prediction. Yeah, I mean, I may as well bet with him instead of against him because he's showing that he's a badass race car driver at this track, and he just gets it done.
I would agree.
Kind of like he does at St. Pete. But finishing second in this race for me will be Joseph Newgarden from Team Penske.
Joseph Newgarden. Second place for me.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Kind of like the old Johnny Carson days where he...
Oh, I gave you a hint earlier.
The amazing... Though.
That ain't fair. I gave you a hint.
The amazing Kreskin, you know, puts the envelope up to his forehead and then rips it open. And I'm going to say for you, Will Power finished the second.
That is who I
have. Oh, I tell you.
I've got Will Power in second. He's Will Power, and he put him on a road course. Honestly, any track nowadays, but road courses has always been his thing.
He'll probably be on the pole.
More than likely, yep. I looked at it last year, and he had 5 poles out of 14 races.
There's so many people you could put on this list. I don't know why I picked the three I did, because in reality, I hope Graham Rahal and Connor Daly are on the front row. I mean, but who knows?
But in second, I've got Will Power.
Will Power.
And your winner.
So that takes us to the winner of this race. Kind of a shocker for me, but for some reason,
Simon Pagenaud.
Absolutely not. For some reason, my gut just tells me that this dude is going to have a year.
I have it down to two.
That's my gut, and I've always been told, go with your gut.
Does he have a black and yellow car or a black and orange car? Which one?
He has a black and orange car. I don't even know who has a black and yellow car.
Black, yellow, and blue would be Colt Herta.
No. He has a black and orange car, and he is from our neighbors to the south, I think. Pato O'Ward.
To win.
Is going to win this race.
Wow.
To kick off the season.
That's a shocker.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not, because it's very possible.
Right.
He's extremely talented, and I can see it happening.
Yep.
Winning for me, I took probably the safest choice in the field to pick to win.
J-New.
I took Joseph Newgarden.
Yep.
He's typically pretty good at Barber.
So right, yeah, typically. So there you go. So we got a Joseph Newgarden and a Pato Award winner.
Yeah. who actually, if you go back to last year and at the final race of St. Pete, that was your first and second place drivers.
Right.
Who was third in
the race? Want to know my alternative thought process here on first, second, third?
What's that?
Graham Rahal, Scott McLaughlin, Will Power.
Really?
That was my second choice for first, second, third.
I think my second choice to win would be Colton Herta.
Listen, Colton Herta's going to have a badass year, too. I don't even know why I didn't pick Colton Herta. I'm just picking.
Neither one of us did.
It's just hard.
It's a hat pick.
It's just hard.
It is a hat pick.
We will see how things go.
Very excited for this race weekend.
We are excited for the race weekend. We are excited to be back bringing you
IndyCar
content, putting it down, and
speaking our minds,
absolutely. So feel free to shoot us something on Twitter if you'd like. I know our guy Lance will be listening.
Good old Lance, baby.
He'll be shooting us some stuff, and I'm telling you, if there's fans allowed at the 500 this year,
oh, we're going wild.
Lance.
Oh yes.
We've got to hook up pre-race because we sit in J stand. I think you sit in J stand or Northwest Vista. One of the
but
two.
It's wherever but you are, you're
wherever
close
you are, we're close. So. We are definitely have to hook up pre-race and
get ourselves a picture.
And get ourselves a picture and
drink
a cold one.
Yes.
So this will be because we have a DD. So this will be Ryan's first 500 where he is legal.
Yeah.
Because
I have just recently, in the past 5 months at this point, turned 21 years old.
Right. So, this will be the first time that you're legal. So,
and we do have a DD, so we are good to go.
Fingers crossed to an excellent year. Fingers crossed to a very safe year.
Yep.
We don't want anybody, you know, getting hurt, which brings me to something I haven't seen much of anything lately from Wickens.
I did. Did you see what they said in the broadcast at the test? So, I forget who was talking. I think it was Hinch or someone was, you know, had an inside report about, they had a story about Wickens and that he had something kind of started up or, you know, he had something to announce soon.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is. But they hinted at being something pretty big.
Okay.
So
let's hope, man. Fingers crossed for great news.
I don't know if that means he's going to end up back in a car with hand controls. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Well, he used to post all the time about his progress.
Yeah, but
he
doesn't.
Showing him, you know,
he doesn't really do
out,
it a lot anymore.
And he hasn't done that for a while, so I don't know. And I knew at one point in time he kind of quit doing it, then he came back, and he kind of explained it as he had to have another surgery or something. He had a little setback.
Have a feeling that he's getting pretty close to getting back.
That would be awesome, dude.
Maybe within the next year.
That would be awesome. And I hope
He's got a ride.
I hope Arrow McLaren SP has a car for him.
I think they will. I think
so,
they're going to honor his stuff.
But here we are. Brings us to the end of another fantastic episode. We always like sitting down and talking about IndyCar.
Always.
I'm glad that the season's back because now we get to do this every week.
Yes.
So we will be with you from now until the end of the season.
Till about, what is it, October, I think?
Yeah, on a weekly basis. Unless we're on vacation.
Which, actually, you know, another announcement
coming up.
Once we get into the fall season. Well, we talked about in the past how football season gets in the way of our podcast recording.
Yes, it did.
We have both.
We have both.
Officially.
Officially resigned.
Resigned and retired.
Yes.
From coaching high school football.
I don't know if I would say retired.
I don't know.
For me, but we'll see. But this year...
This year we are done.
We both... You had to take it off because you had school conflict. Yeah. I had to take it off because I needed a break, just to be honest with you. We're still Mooresville Pioneers.
Yes, we'll be at the games.
Yeah, we'll still be there. We'll still be cheering our guys on.
Just not in the same capacity we have in the past couple years. For you, the past, I think, 9 years.
Yeah, so we are definitely going to make it out to a few other races. I think we're talking about you and I going to, if they have it, or if they allow fans going to the night before the 500 up at
the little 500
up at Anderson.
I think they will, because last year they ran it.
So we'll see. But we're looking at maybe getting to Elkhart Lake. We were going to go to Nashville, man. But man, have you guys seen the ticket prices for Nashville?
Quite expensive. Oof.
Man, I'm waiting.
Which doesn't shock me.
I know, but I'm waiting for the one day tickets to come out and see what they're like.
Because the way to do it is you go down the day before.
Well, the way to do it would be to go down there Friday, and then you got Friday night, Saturday night, because then you got all the bars that are down there.
You have yourself a nice little night on Friday night.
It's pretty cool, but man, the 3 day ticket packages are not cheap.
No. So we'll see.
We'll see how things go.
Definitely going to get to some races, though, that's for sure.
We definitely are. So, again, thanks for joining us. We appreciate everybody's support. Hopefully you're all, come back on track with us and ride out the season with us.
Yes, for sure.
Other than that,
this has been Around the Outside,
an IndyCar podcast. And we're out.